Accessing.
All this year, we will be featuring a product of the week. So be sure to look within the description of each and every podcast this TV season and click through those links. Whenever you purchase an item through our links, each purchase helps our network grow, and we're able to keep the lights on within the studio.
Warning, Star Trek From the Holodeck contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Lock it alone!
Fire!
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
Commander Klingon vessel, we are energizing transporter beam. Now!
Welcome, everyone, to Star Trek From the Holodeck. I am Michael Flores, your host. I'm also the captain of this starship. And at the helm is Lieutenant David Sabal. Hello, David.
I better put away my tribble meat. I'm sorry, Captain.
Are you eating tribbles?
They're so tasty.
Come on, we're all vegetarians on this vessel, all right? We do not take in such poisons into our body. This is the future, Dave. We're beyond that. We've evolved past.
So easy to take. It's so.
You're like Edward, aren't you? You would be like trying to experiment on new ways that you can make some nice, delicious Filipino soup.
Hey, it's there to be eaten.
All right, you savage. You would be consumed like Edward on board a ship. I would leave you behind.
You'd leave me
and
behind.
And then at the end, when my commanding officers want to know what happened, I'm like, well, sir, he was an idiot.
He was an idiot.
Yeah. So today we're going to be breaking down, discussing episode 2 of the second season of Short Treks. And I just want to thank the Star Trek gods.
God, dude. Short Treks has it's really made me excited for Star Trek again. We said that about like Q&A, but Short Treks continues to actually just keep that franchise rolling on a high.
Yeah. Well, it's fun because they can dabble into different areas, things that we may not ever get to because it's just the nature of the TV business. You can't do a TV show on every era of Star Trek or every little thing that fans love, but this is such a great way, Dave, to give back to Star Trek fans and delve into things that otherwise we wouldn't be able to. So Short Treks, I'm hoping they keep coming. As I said, today we're going to be talking about the Trouble with Edward, which is the second episode of the second season of Star Trek Short Treks, written by Graham Wagner and directed by Daniel Gray Logino. The synopsis, newly minted Captain Lynn Lucero is excited to take command of the USS Cabot. That is until she meets Edward Larkin, an ornery scientist who believes he has found a revolutionary new use for tribbles.
The darker version of Commander Barclay.
Yeah,
he's the darker version of him.
Is Edward this era's Barclay?
I honestly feel like it, because I'm sorry, when you look at Edward Larkin and how he acts, I'm like going, wait a minute, that's Barclay. Only Barclay was much more nicer.
We didn't know what Barclay had in the 90s, but I think in today's standards, I think we would know that he's definitely on the spectrum.
Yes.
He's definitely has a form of autism, and I would definitely say the same thing about Edward. I loved it, man. And now Edward, he is the guy that he's a voice actor.
Yes.
Mostly, correct?
He's the voice actor who plays Archer on Archer.
And also in Bob's Burger, right?
Yep.
I mean, his comedic timing is flawless, Dave.
Oh my God. I'm so happy that we finally got to see him on screen.
He needs to do more live action.
Yes.
If he can bring that level of comedy to screen, Dave, we're all missing out.
Oh, yeah.
We're all missing out. We need to have more of this actor on screen.
He's an amazing talent because of his comedic timing. And it's the way he delivers his line. Every time I've ever seen
John Benjamin.
Yeah, H. John Benjamin. I can't even talk today.
What was that, Dave?
H. John Benjamin. I can't even talk today. Jesus. So, but Benjamin, I've been actually a big fan of his, especially because I love voice acting. And his work on Archer.
Oh, yeah. He's good.
It's amazing. His timing is just on par. He knows how to deliver lines.
Well, obviously, he's a talent, Dave, because we already know that voice acting is very different than regular acting. Yeah. And I know there may be actors out there that disagree, but there are a lot of voice actors and live action actors, I guess we can call them, or classical actors that would agree. It's two very different things. Some people say it's easier because you're in your own vacuum. You don't have to worry about tons of eyes staring at you as you perform. So a lot of the whole thing about acting is you got to be vulnerable. You got to allow yourself to be vulnerable because literally you have hundreds of eyes on you on a set.
Oh, yeah.
So it really comes down to, I think, the type of person that's acting and whether or not it's easier for them or it's not. But Dave, I feel like H. John Benjamin, I mean, for a guy who's predominantly doing voice acting on cartoons, he should be on or be in more live action films because, as I said, his comedic timing was fantastic in this episode.
It was impeccable.
His delivery is amazing. And I'm just going to say this now. This episode of Star Trek is something that none of us realized we needed or wanted. No. Yeah. But here it is. And it was magnificent. And this isn't hyperbole. It's brilliant, Dave. Like,
and it was the brilliant thing about Benjamin was also not just the way he delivers his lines, but just the little things that he does, like walking out in the middle of the corridor just in his underwear.
Yeah, well, that's what you do. That. I remember going to film school years ago, and I'd show up at your house, and you would answer the door in your underwear.
And I'm like going,
David, go get some clothes on.
You know what? You know what? That works. It, for some strange reason, it just works. On a comedic scale.
Oh, it always does. For some reason, seeing a slightly chubby guy with no clothes on is always funny.
Just in his saggy whitey tighties.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll get an instant laugh.
Yeah. But I really had no idea what to expect from this episode. Ultimately, I knew it had to do with Tribbles. That was obvious. We saw that in the promo, especially the title. They're playing with the familiar layout or familiar words. This episode is a perfect example of what everything Star Trek can be.
Yes.
And that's the takeaway for me as well.
Well, also the excitement about this, if this is what we can get out of Short Trek.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the type of writing we can get in something, say, Lower Decks?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I completely agree with that. The ability to be a French, think about this. We always felt like Star Trek had to be one thing.
Yeah.
And there's many Star Trek fans out there, and I don't condemn them. And I know I sometimes joke harshly about Star Trek fans wanting what they want and their babies. I'm one of them, so I feel like I can say it, right? But I'm just being facetious at times. I'm not being serious. I get that when you have a franchise that's 40 plus years old, there's going to be a lot of older than that, 40 plus. It's like, what, 50 plus at this point?
About 50, yes.
You're going to have some passionate fans who expect certain things and things that should be the staple of Star Trek. But now we're in 2019. Things have changed. And as long as we don't destroy Star Trek, I feel like we can deconstruct it a bit and rejuvenate it and offer different possibilities. The fact that we have a franchise like this, it shows that this franchise, Star Trek, has the ability to veer a little more heavily into the comedy.
Yes.
And this is something that I never would have expected to work. As you mentioned with Lower Decks, we know that this is that upcoming cartoon series has been promoted as a comedy, and I'm excited for it because I don't know what to expect. But there have been moments when I'm thinking about it where I'm like, I just don't know. Is this going to work? Is it going to feel like Star Trek? Because you can be funny, but at the same time, it needs to feel like Star Trek. Otherwise, why call it? Why make it a Star Trek series?
Yeah. And then the dangerous part, too, is like, let's face it. Star Trek humor is hit or miss.
Mostly miss.
Well,
let's just be honest. Like, mostly miss.
But like Star Trek humor can work. I mean, we as Star Trek fans love it. We giggle at it, but only us Star Trek fans get it. The real trick is getting mass audiences to get that comedy.
Exactly right.
And that's what I think that the short trek showed was like, yeah, it could still be a Star Trek show, but you could still be funny. You could still do, you could still do nods to like the whole Star Trek universe for the hardcore fans, but you could still deliver comedic timing that can resonate to your entire audience.
And I think that's the trick. Are they going to be able to skate that narrow line there of, you know, inside jokes, which is what Star Trek sometimes has become, inside jokes. And I'm talking more the TNG era and the TNG movies.
Yes.
I feel like the classic Trek films, they managed to definitely branch out to the mainstream. They were hits across the board for the most part, specifically Star Trek IV. Star Trek IV at the time did so well at the box office because it wasn't really a science fiction piece. It was time travel, but it was also on Earth at our time. And it was probably the more, if you had to point to one comedy of all the movies, I would say that's probably the most comedy we've ever received in Star Trek.
Oh, yeah. It was the most satirical.
Absolutely. And as I said, comedy, pointing to Star Trek IV here, comedy is not something entirely new to Trek, but I would never formally classify any Trek as straight up comedy.
As straight up piece of comedy.
And this particular episode of Short Treks, The Trouble with Edward, would be considered within the genre of comedy, without a doubt. And I could see easily, and that's what I always look for. I always look for longevity, especially when I'm reviewing these Short Treks. I did it last season as well. It was a little easier to do because a lot of them were tied to the Star Trek Discovery series. But now that we're dealing with these one-offs, or I guess we can even call them like one-shots, essentially, my mind starts going in the direction of, well, can we see this be turned into something bigger? Could this actually have some longevity? And when you look at the first episode we covered, Q&A, of course there's some longevity there. It's based on the Enterprise crew with Pike. We know it. That's a given.
It's a given. But then it's established.
But then we look at this episode, you know, helmed by Captain Lynn Lucero and Edward Larkin. And there were some questions there. I'm like, well, this is a comedy. Can there be some longevity there? And I absolutely can see this turned into a 30-minute per episode type series.
Yeah, especially the actress who plays Captain Lucerno. I honestly think she could, and this may sound bad, but she has a more charisma, in my opinion, than the one actress on Discovery, currently on Discovery, who plays Burnham.
Oh, you shut your filthy mouth. But I do agree.
if you were to actually put her in that lead role, especially in a comedic TV show, she would absolutely blow the doors off.
Well, she also can do straight up. I mean, her reactions to there's two types of comedy. There's the ability to deliver it, right?
Yes.
But then there's the ability to accept it.
It's the straight man.
Playing
the straight man.
And when she was in that ready room and they were talking about this plan to make tribbles. And I mean, that scene, I rewound it about five times because it made me laugh so effing hard. And everyone in that ready room was brilliant. It wasn't just, you know, Benjamin that did a great job. Every single actor that reacted to what was going on was spot on. And that was the moment we were like, what, 5 minutes into the series? And I'm like, this needs to be made into a series.
Yeah.
This is great. So it has given me more faith in Lower Decks. Because I don't want to say I didn't have faith in it, but as I said at the top of the show, I mean, we're dealing with comedy and Trek. It's just something that doesn't, to me,
It's not the norm.
Especially in this new era, it's very straight. It's very dark. There still is optimism, but for the most part, we're getting some very serious, dark themes, which I prefer that. yeah. my own personal taste. I prefer that. But here we are with lighter episodes, lighthearted episodes, and suddenly it works. And at the same time, Dave, there's not one moment during the 14-minute runtime that I felt like this wasn't Trek. And that's what I'm looking for when Lower Decks comes out. I'm like, okay, so you're a cartoon and you're funny.
Yes.
But do you feel like Star Trek like at Star the Trek. Same time? And that's the balancing act that they did so well in this episode. There was not one moment where I didn't feel like I was not in the Star Trek world.
Yeah. And like, that's that, that I'm glad you brought that up, because it's kind of like, it's one thing if you make a comedy, a science fiction comedy. I'm sorry, I'm going to bring it up, Orville. I know a lot of fans out there love that. They say, oh, that's the humor of Star Trek that we love. No, it isn't.
Yeah.
You know, this is more Star Trek that we all.
Are we bad Star Trek fans, Dave, for not being? Cause it feels like every Star Trek fan is a fan of Orville. Are we,
I don't get it.
Are we bad Star Trek fans for like hating it? Like, is there something wrong with us?
Not really. I don't think so.
Because I have tried. I have tried.
Same here.
And I think it's awful.
Yeah. I just think that the humor just doesn't. Maybe it's because I'm not a big Seth. I think it's Seth Green.
Yeah.
Seth Green is hit or miss with his comedy. And
I'm not a big Seth Green fan.
I'm not a big Seth Green fan. I like Family Guy.
I'm not a big Family Guy. I like the other one. American Dad.
American Dad.
I like that one. That's pretty good.
And he's very hit or miss, but it's kind of like when you take his type of comedy and try to apply it to Star Trek, it doesn't make sense to me. And that's why, you know, I watched half of season of Orville and I gave up.
And that's what I did too. I watched the first half of the season and I'm like, all right, well, I just can't get into this. It's not very good.
Yeah.
So that being said, Dave, let's bring it right back to The Trouble with Edward. Academically, this episode was flawless, to be honest with you. The script itself was excellent. The directing from Daniel Gray-Lagino was on point, and the comedic timing couldn't have been better. And of course, we attributed that to the actors, but let's not forget the directing. It's not easy to direct comedy.
No,
it's not easy to write comedy. A lot of people think, oh, I got jokes. But translating humor over to paper and then making sure the chemistry is in that room to make it actually funny, that's an entirely different thing. There's a yeah. lot of people out there that think they're funny. And then they realize quickly that they're not when they're writing a script or they attempt to write a funny script.
A funny script, yeah.
It's not an easy thing to do. In fact, in a lot of ways, Dave, and this is going to be very surprising to a lot of people out there who listen to a lot of our shows, because I prefer drama and the dark over comedy. But I'll tell you now that it's far harder to write comedy.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not my cup of tea. I do like a good, funny piece of, you know, good, funny piece of pop culture, whether it be a movie, a TV show. I do appreciate it, but I prefer more serious tones in my entertainment.
Yeah, because it's easier to actually get that relatable feeling from your audience in drama.
Right. Comedy is a very different thing. And also yeah. what's funny to one group of people isn't always funny to another group of people. So you're on a tightrope trying to walk and trying to figure out what will work for the masses. So just great from an academic standpoint. The writing, Graham Wagner. I mean, this guy has worked on other pieces of comedy, so it's no surprise that he was able to do this. I mean, he was a producer for years on The Office.
Yeah.
He was also an executive producer on Silicon Valley. So this guy isn't new to comedy. And I love the talent pool that we're getting. What's the guy running Star Trek Universe?
Alex Kurtzman
is doing a fantastic job, not just pulling from the fishbowl. And that's something that a lot of producers do. They get comfortable and they go to that Rolodex. Oh, I worked with him before. Oh, I worked with him before. Oh, I worked with him before. And suddenly we get a lot of the same things because, you know, we're using the same people over and over.
Yes.
But to see how Alex Kurtzman is going outside of that fishbowl and bringing on people that typically, I would never expect Graham Wagner to ever work on an episode of Star Trek. And yet here we are. And look, what he delivered.
And that's what gives me hope for Star Trek as a franchise in general, is the fact that Kurtzman's willing and all his staff is willing to take a risk.
Absolutely right. They're taking a risk because this is how you take a risk. Because there is a risk to it, Dave, because you run the chance that you're going to piss off fans and it's not going to go over well. And season one was a little bit of that. I enjoyed it, but it was them trying to understand what they're going to do with this story. And going into season two, it feels like everything is firing, and they have everything mapped out, and they understand exactly what they're going to be doing with Star Trek moving forward. And this episode of Short Treks is yet another example of them understanding what they want to do.
Yeah.
It's amazing what they're doing, honestly, with these 14-minute running time episodes. These writers are on it. I mean, this is expert writing, Dave.
I'm telling you, this, you know, everyone makes fun of me in the last episode about Q&A of how passionate I was, how great the work was there. But Short Treks in general, honestly, should be an example of how you do short films.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is how you do short films. This is how you can do this type of short film. What makes the entire series of Short Treks so amazing is they're able to show Star Trek in different genres.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at all the past Short Treks, some of them have a little different type of genre to this. This particular episode is probably the first one that just tackles it head on, showing a true comedy kind of Short Trek. I mean, the closest one we got was The Escape Artist.
Yeah. And it's something that we never really expected Star Trek to do. I mean, for the most part, Star Trek is always, I don't want to say veered into close and safe territory, but there was an idea of what Star Trek should be. And this is where the Star Trek fan in me is like saying, yes, it should be this way, never change it. But also that's how you go stale and fall apart. And then you have no TV shows or movies for almost 20 years. That's what happens when you aren't willing to experiment and possibly step out of your comfort zone. Before all of this happened, Deep Space Nine was that.
Yes.
Deep Space Nine was the producer stepping out of the comfort zone and delivering us something different, showing that Star Trek can still be Star Trek and also be something different. And that's what Deep Space Nine was. And that's what Discovery is becoming. And that's what these Short Treks are doing. They're showing us that Star Trek can be so much bigger than what we expect it to be. And I know that many of us Trek fans are sometimes narrow-minded. And I'm hoping people can accept that Star Trek can be something else. And if the old school fans who are, I mean, we already have said this many times, for the most part, the old school Star Trek fans are a dying demographic. So in the grand scheme of things, I guess it really doesn't matter if they get on board, because this new era of Star Trek universe, the new era is bringing in new people. As we know, we watched that documentary, What We Left Behind.
Yes.
The Deep Space Nine documentary. And that's something they specifically mentioned, that to this day in 2018, 2019, because of Netflix, because of Hulu, more and more people are finding Star Trek Deep Space Nine and Star Trek Next Generation and Star Trek Enterprise, and a whole new fan base is being formed because of the streaming services. And now here, Star Trek Universe starting up with Alex Kurtzman, this new era. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, sadly, it doesn't really matter if the old demo gets on board or not. And from us, people who I think you and I are a good example of hardcore Star Trek fans that are willing to have an open mind. Yes, we're very critical. And we're like, hey, you better get it right. You better understand Star Trek. And I think that's the key to making a successful story that Star Trek is, you have to know Star Trek. And if you understand Star Trek, then you can then take, what do we always say about breaking the rules? You have to know the rules before you can break them. And that's the same thing with Star Trek. Know Star Trek. Know the rules of Star Trek. Know what governs Star Trek when it comes to themes and archetypes, all the things that we expect. And then once you fully understand that, you can break it. You can break it, and, or I guess you can say deconstruct it.
deconstructed is a better term.
And that's what they're doing here. That's what they're doing here with this new era, because it feels like Star Trek, but it's also something very different. And I'm excited for the future of Star Trek and what we're getting.
I'm all on board for this, especially since, you know, like, given the idea that we're just a few months away, or a few weeks or a few months away from
Picard. What is it, Dave? A few moments, weeks, months? You're confusing me over here.
It's a bit of a parsec time. I don't know, but there's something there. We're just a few months away from Picard coming out. Can you imagine the type of storytelling that we're going to get in Picard?
Yeah.
Now that we've seen what they can do in Short Treks, it makes me really excited to see. Okay, what are we going to get in Picard?
Yeah. Well, the sky's the limit, Dave, at this point. All right. So that being said, I'm surprised I liked it so much.
I was kind of happy when I was watching over your shoulder and you were giggling at that one scene where the lady like drowned in triples.
Because it was so over the top. It was B film excellence, Dave.
It was.
They're shooting tribbles with like stun blasters or what is it? Blasters. Stun phasers, and it's just so over the top. The music's all dramatic. People are screaming. It looked like the old like exploitation film trailers. It was just so over the top, and I loved it. And to be perfectly honest, I never cared for tribbles. I know that might be a Star Trek cardinal sin, but I just never cared. To me, it was really silly. But this episode essentially being an origin story for the tribbles.
It was.
And the now iconic episode from the original series, The Trouble with Tribbles, it worked, and it made me look at that episode a little differently. I just never liked the episode, Dave. Maybe it's been years since I've seen it. Maybe if I go back and watch, maybe I'll appreciate it a little bit more now that I'm more mature and I can appreciate the nuances to writing an episode. But as I remember, I was just like, this is really silly, and not the typical Star Trek silliness. It was
over the top silly. I mean, when Kirk basically takes the tribbles and puts it against the one guy and says, oh, they don't like you very much, do they?
Yeah.
And you find out that, well, they don't like him because he's a Klingon and Klingons eat tribbles. And then you tie it in with the Short Trek. It's so fun. And it's just blows your mind that basically they took that one episode, took it to Short Treks. And now you look at that episode, you go, wow, that's amazing that they were able to tie everything together. So seamlessly.
Well, is it seamless now? That's what we're going to go talk about now. We find out, as you mentioned, just how the tribbles gained the ability to multiply so fast, along with the Klingon connection, as you mentioned. But
yes,
this origin story, as clever as it is, may also be or might have created some very big continuity errors within Star Trek, Dave. And I'm going to tell you why. Tribbles have been seen various times. And the reason why we were going to cover this last week, and I needed time to think. If you remember, we were in studio to record, and I said, Dave, just go home because I need to think about this a little bit longer, not just because it was great, but also I think there might have been some inconsistencies when it comes to the lore of Tribbles.
Yeah.
Star Trek canon probably is a better way of saying it. Now, we've seen them various times throughout Star Trek, okay? Let me see if I can find my notes here. Hold on. I had it all written down and now I lost it. They had been mentioned numerous times. Tribbles were first encountered. Now, this is according to Star Trek canon. Obviously, chronologically, in terms of when these shows came out, this isn't the first time. The first time was in Troubles with Tribbles in the 1960s in the original series.
Yeah.
But from a canon perspective, Tribbles were first encountered by humans in the early 2150s when Dr. Phlox brought a small number aboard the Enterprise as an easily sustainable food source for his pets. Now, okay, fine. Food sources, you can easily overlook that. right? Because that isn't that the whole entire reason why Edward wanted to genetically modify them? Because they were meaty, he said, right? But his issue was that they bred, I believe, very slowly. Okay, assuming that Larkin's assessment of Tribble's biology was correct, the trouble with Edward indicates that the Tribble's fast breeding abilities came about due to human tinkering, right?
Yes.
We saw that in the episode with their DNA. But Phlox, in the previous episode that I just mentioned, had already stated them to be prodigious breeders, which we already know the meaning of that, and that's basically unnatural speeds, abnormal, remarkably fast, okay? I guess you can apply it to that meaning. So he mentioned it in the episode, The Breach, seemingly constituting a continuity error, right?
Yes.
However, it may still fit into continuity just fine, according to Star Trek Wiki, as it should also be noted that the Tribbles Edward genetically altered were called Tribulatus ventriquus rather than Polygeminus. That's awful. I really fucked that one up. This may indicate that the Tribulus ventricus was a separate species of Tribble that did not breed as quickly. Okay. Well, you know what? In my mind, I can easily take that assumption, right? We can make that assumption.
You can take that assumption.
We can take that leap.
You can take that leap. I mean, there's different species of various animals. And
for all we know, we don't know what breed. We can assume that the breed that Edward tinkered with is the exact same breed that we saw in Troubles with Tribbles.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole point. That was the connection.
That was the connection they drew. And like they even threw in the fact that basically they brought up the fact that all the Tribbles are born pregnant, which is something that basically Tribbles actually brings up.
Yeah. So maybe some slight canon issues. However, if they are different species, then I say no harm, no foul, right? Because there were some people screaming foul ball on Twitter. As we know, social media is a place where a lot of people like to yell and scream. So it kind of irked me a little bit because I was agreeing with them. But after I had reviewed this article, I'm like, okay, well, I think we can assume they specifically state it's a different species.
It's a different species.
It's a completely different species. So I have no problem. We can easily
wave it away.
Yeah.
Because that's the beauties of science, people.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with a lot of people on Twitter that basically just want to rally and scream at it.
Oh, like, how dare them, like, messing up Star Trek continuity.
Exactly.
And phasers on fire. Phasers on full effect.
And it's like, I want to look at those people and say, you're a Star Trek fan, right? You believe in science, right? So you mean to tell me you're not going to actually
believe... They don't believe in different species.
In different species.
That's not science.
Ah.
All right, Dave. So give me your final thoughts on this episode of Short Treks.
My final thoughts on this episode, I really dug this episode. It was really tough, actually. The one thing I wanted to ask you, ranking the Short Treks at this point, it's really difficult because, like, Q&A is up there for me. Q&A is obviously number one.
We need to start writing these down so we remember what we rated them.
But, like, then I started thinking, okay, where does Trouble with Edward actually fall? Because I like it.
That's up there, Dave.
It's up there, but is it better than Calypso? And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't put it above Calypso because Calypso was just perfect as a short film.
Yeah, I am. Go ahead, Dave. Don't ask me to give you your final thoughts. You do it on your own.
My final thoughts.
You do your own homework.
After thinking about it, I'm going to give Trouble with Edward a 92. For me, Q&A was perfect. That's why I gave it the perfect score of 100.
You gave it 100? I forgot.
Yeah, I gave it 100, dude, and it deserves it because of the minimalistic way you did it.
Oh, my God, it was 100.
Trouble with Edward... There is no Trouble with Edward. It's a really great short film.
So why are you giving it a 92 then?
I'm giving it a 92 because little nitpicks for me is like, okay, you set up this whole thing about Edward and especially with this new crew, and I want to see more. I now want to see more, but I can't see any more.
You can't grade the episode based on you wanting to see more.
Oh, yes, I can, because I graded it in the Q&A as a fan, too.
We're grading these as fans. That's not what we do on this network. Fanboy during the show, and at the end, we give people our real thoughts.
The thing about trouble with Edward too is they had to actually throw in certain things to make us as Star Trek fans comfortable, like the opening scene with Pike.
I think you're just making things up, Dave. I think you don't have a problem with this episode.
And I don't. That's the problem.
Your complaint is literally they're trying to make us comfortable by having Pike. How are you going to complain about having Anson Mount as Pike in an episode? No,
I can't. I really can't.
You're cut off.
But here's the thing. I cannot put it above Q&A, and then I can't put it.
Then don't. Don't try to nitpick it to death. Because
I can't.
All right. But
I will give it a 92. Giving it a 92.
I'm going to murder you. All right, I'm giving this a 99. Dave, it's excellent. The opening 2 minutes is fantastic Star Trek. We were able to see Captain Pike in a way that we might not ever see him. The opening with the Enterprise and the captain's log.
Enterprise flew in. That production value.
Yeah, and I'm not going to review this as a fan, but that was so good.
That was good.
It's something that we all can connect to immediately as Star Trek fans. And it was. You're right. You mentioned that they're trying to find ways to help the viewer be a little more comfortable with this premise. And you're right. And that's because it's excellent writing, Dave. It's not because they're trying to make a gimmick and cheat. They're trying to connect things. And as a writer, you got to make sure you grab your audience.
But I got to – integrity, Mike.
There's tons of integrity here. There's tons of integrity. Viewer integrity. Or what did you say? Critic?
Critic integrity. Oh,
yeah, please. I think you threw that out the window by giving the last episode 100%.
It deserved 100.
It was good, but I don't know if it's 100%. So, yeah, 99, Dave. I feel like in 14 minutes, they managed to fully immerse us. And this, I'm a writer, and I look at everything from writing. And from a writing perspective, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
You know what the sad part is? Just thinking about it makes me want to go, no, I'm going to give it 100.
No, you stick to your word. So what happened to critic integrity?
I can't.
I
know. I have no critic integrity.
Wait, what?
I have no more critic integrity.
You can't even talk anymore. You're like, I have no more critic interrogation. All right. So 99%. I'm hoping we get some more of these types of things. And if not, Lower Decks, I'm looking forward to it that much more. And we need to get H. John Benjamin back into Star Trek ASAP, even if he's voicing an episode of Lower Decks. I'll take that. So, all right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. Please, you can find all of our shows, RainmanDigitalMedia.com, also iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Search Star Trek From the Holodeck. Leave us reviews. Give us thumbs up. Also, if you want more Star Trek every single month, head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/RainmanDigital, and pledge to our podcast tier. And you'll be given more Star Trek discussions each and every single month. David, thank you.
Thank you. Let's live long and prosper.
I couldn't help but notice your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
End simulation.